Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Father, thank you again for opening the hearts of our minds and our hearts and minds in the concept that you created time for us. Because with you, there is no time. You're the future. You're the past. And we're learning this, and it's great comfort to us that you have already planned a plan before the foundation of the world, and that plan included no sickness, no disease, no sin. You planned it all good, for you are good. You are a good God, and you're good to all. And we praise you today and thank you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's look in the book of Ephesians.
Okay.
In this, in the second chapter of Ephesians, let's start with the sixth verse. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of worst works, lest any man should boast. Now notice this, look at this. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. When did that happen? Well, what did he write to the church at Corinth? Any man that is in Christ is a new creature. Yes. Created in Christ Jesus. Adam was created. Well, so were we.
That's right.
Yes. Created in Christ Jesus.
That was our God-breathed moment.
Yes. For we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained or prepared that we should walk in them. Therefore, because of that, remember you being in past Gentiles in the flesh. At that time, you were without Christ. Mm. And being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Now we're down to the meat of this sandwich.
Yes, sir.
Oh, glory to God, these blood covenants.
Yes, sir.
And why did it have to be blood? Because Satan had, listen, a paper contract, he'll break it. Mm-hmm. But a blood agreement, he cannot. What did this great apostle write in the book of Hebrews? What happened in the book of Revelation? Mm-hmm. Blood.
That's right.
Blood. Revelation 12, 11. They overcame him
by the blood
of the Lamb
and the word of
their testimony. Faith, words.
Yeah, speaking his
covenants.
Word.
Yes.
Speaking his word. If you confess me, I'll confess you.
And look at this.
Yeah.
This marvelous thing. Glory to God. And we have it.
Yeah.
I think I told this maybe to this class, but I don't remember. It's been quite some years ago. And I was so taken up that God spoke to Moses face to face. And particularly there when that Moses broke ranks and interrupted God and said, I want to see your glory. Well, so do I. He just interrupted him. And God said, okay, but you can't look at my face and live. But I'll let my goodness pass before you. And I said, God, oh, you spoke to him face to face. And I want to speak with you face to face. And it rose up on the inside of me. He said, son, you have everything I said to Moses.
To Moses, that's right. Moses asked for something outside of his time. That's your time to be able to have that relationship with him. Yet God, all the promises of God are yes and amen. God still said, okay, I'll tell you how I'll do this. And if you go back and you read that and you pay attention to it, it says, there is a place where you can stand by me.
Yes.
And he placed him in the cleft of the rock. He placed him for a moment in time.
Yes.
He took him from his position and placed him in our covenant.
And let his...
And let his goodness...
Goodness, his go backside.
Back. Right. His history. Passable. He saw from that moment all the way back.
What hit me so hard, I pulled off the side of the road and wept. And this book took another place in my life. He said, you have everything I said to Moses. You have everything I said to Joshua. You have everything I said to all of the prophets. He said, I didn't leave anything out.
Right.
It's all in here.
For that moment of time, Moses was in Christ. Mm. This is why he was punished so harshly when he struck Christ again.
Yes.
Should have known. He was trying to teach them a principle. Christ must be struck first the next time you'll speak to him. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name, now you'll ask.
He stepped out of his meekness.
He stepped out of his meekness.
I've never tied the meekness together with it.
He was angry.
Yeah, he got mad. And he was in his mind, he was striking those people with the rod. He literally said so.
But he was
so.
Striking Jesus.
And he struck the rock.
Yeah.
But right then I heard it in my spirit. He stepped out of his meekness.
That's exactly
and his
right.
meekness was the reason God called him.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. What you just read in Ephesians chapter 2, if you let me, I'll go back to Ephesians chapter 1 that sets that up. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, and this is what's happening this week with you. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, the mystery of his will is not unknown to us now. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times...
Now that's it right there.
He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, which we have an inheritance of.
That statement is so huge. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, not time.
Times, plural.
Yeah. Fullness of times.
That's all those covenants, because Paul will talk about, you didn't have a covenant. Now you have one in this time.
And fullness of times. Mm-hmm. Who knows what that means?
He does.
Only God knows what all those times are. That struck me. In the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance.
Let's go forward to Ephesians 3.
Yeah, I'll be glad to.
Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto all principalities and powers, heavenly places might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. You're the manifold wisdom of God.
Yes.
Listen to this. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The entire fullness of times, dispensations is all in Christ Jesus. And I'm in him, he's in me.
Yes.
And this thing is not a mystery. So we gotta understand then who Jesus is.
Now when a revelation comes and then it's taken to the pulpit, mm-hmm. and that revelation flows, that's when the angels find out about it. Mm-hmm. They receive their revelation through God and through Jesus, but now we are his body.
That's right.
And the Spirit is indwelling all of us. So as revelations come, for instance, think about this. Heidi and Roland Baker are absolutely present-day apostles.
Yes.
Roland was born in China to Chinese missionaries. Born there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Heidi was born in the United States, and now they live in Mozambique.
Yeah.
Now, every revelation that comes out of that apostle anointing, I heard things Sunday through and from her that was such a thrill. So she takes the word of faith that she has learned from us, which we learned from Brother Hagin,
right.
Which she learned from Brother Hagin, because she was so dyslexic that she couldn't read. Well, it didn't mean she didn't know how to read, but she could just scramble her words. He laid hands on her, so Kenneth Hagin is in her life.
That's right.
He laid hands on her, and she was instantly delivered from dyslexia.
Praise God.
All of these things. Now, here's this. That apostolic ministry has cross-pollinated with this ministry of faith.
That's right.
And out of this is coming revelations that the angels are learning.
That's right.
Now, that's beyond my pay grade. You know. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing the devil would like to mess up. I mean, he'd like to tear that up any way, any possible way that he could.
He wants to separate. He'd like to keep everybody separated from each other. He wants to keep you separated from the source.
Jesus said it. And you need to quote it in the proper order. Jesus said, the thief comes but for to steal. Now, that's what a thief does. Mm-hmm. He comes to steal, then to kill, and to destroy. Steal what? The word. Mm-hmm. Jesus said that. He comes immediate to steal it. Yes. If he can steal the word, then he can kill you. If he can steal the word, then he can destroy your finances. But at first and foremost, he's a thief. So you have to deal with a thief with the eternal things. And to deal with him, you can't deal with him on paper. You have to deal with him with blood.
That's right.
He doesn't understand anything else because he's a legalist.
He thought he had Adam. He thought Adam was going to do what he did. He thought once Adam transgressed that Adam would rebel and fight God. No, that took a while for that, for the kinfolk of Adam to do that. Adam didn't do that. First thing Adam did was Adam tried to cover himself. He was shamed. He was afraid. He didn't say, this is my new covenant partner with Lucifer. That's what Lucifer, I believe, thought he would do.
That's pretty obvious, yeah.
But Lucifer didn't realize until that moment that truly that mankind was created in a different class. No, he's created in the God class. And a lot of people think Adam was some kind of caveman or something. No, he wasn't.
No. There's two creations there that go.
Yeah. Adam was very much like Jesus. Jesus was referred to as the second Adam. Adam would have had control. We'd be amazed by Adam today, before the fall.
Yes.
Adam could walk on water. Adam could create. Adam could name things, animals and different things, and they would become what he said they were.
When you study that carefully, and in fact, Greg and I were looking at that yesterday. Now, God created those animals. He could have named them, but he didn't.
Wanted to see what he would do.
He put it in the hands of his overseer, who at that time was God of this world.
Yes.
He got over it.
Yeah.
To see what he would call them. I'm totally convinced, after a lot of years of praying about this and seeking God for it and with it and in it, I'm totally convinced that when he called a parrot, then the parrot became that color. When he called an elephant, then the elephant became that color. And because what he called him is what he became. God calls things that be not as though they were. God called, he spoke, and things happened. But he put this over into his son, Adam, who looked exactly like him.
It was an exact image.
I saw it in a vision. That's one of the most powerful things I've had. One open vision, but this one was, it was, I saw it. I saw God holding him by the shoulders, and he was exactly the same size.
He was the exact image.
He's exactly
he was created
image.
In his image.
So now we know how the size of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when he breathed into him, he was speaking into his face. And when I saw him, his nose was right there at God's nose, and he was holding him here. And this image was hanging here like this. And the first thing he heard was the blessing.
Yes.
That's what God was pointing out to me. The first thing he heard was he blessed him.
This is an artist's picture of Jesus. And there, you know, there's a great story behind this.
Yes, it is.
So Adam was created exactly in this image. Romans chapter 5 says that Adam was a precursor to the second Adam that would come. So what I did was I took this picture and I made a photocopy of it on a copy machine. And it came out looking a lot like that one. And I kept doing that. There's number two. I took the same, I would take
so
the-
So this is second generation.
That's second generation. Here's third generation.
That's third generation.
If you look at that.
And he's more gray-headed. Look at the gray hairs in this one. I didn't notice that.
I watch it there.
Yeah, but look.
Uh-huh.
And you go back to this one, it's not there.
No, and here's four, and here's five.
Just on a copy machine, he's turning
six.
Gray.
Wow.
Now, look here. By the time I get to 10, Noah. The scripture yes. says that Noah was righteous in his generation. Look at 10. How much it's degraded from the original. It took Adam 900 years or more to learn how to die.
Yeah. He didn't know how to talk death.
No. Never did. So, in this whole thing, when you begin to look at this, that in chapter 5 of Romans, it talks about the Adam as a figure of the one to come. It took the Son of God to replace the Son of God. So Jesus comes and he has remastered us into that image. Now you have to receive that by faith.
Now Bill Winston says that he was the sample son.
I could agree with that.
He's the sample son after whom we are patterned.
That's exactly right. But you've got to keep your faith in that original image.
Yes, you do.
And not copies of copies of copies of copies, because you don't look anything like him then.
His picture is in here.
Yes.
And some things are hard for me to describe after I see them. You start back over here. Now, he already had the plan. Mm-hmm. But then, to us, a mystery or a puzzle. A mystery or is a, mm-hmm. it's a puzzle. Mm-hmm. And so, in the beginning, There's one piece.
Abraham would have been another piece. Moses would have been another piece.
Jesus in every one of them.
Yes, he is. He's in
all of those types.
Yep.
And when in the fullness of the dispensation of times, he was born in a city called Bethlehem. And blood.
Great.
God killed an animal.
So
and dressed
them in it. Right.
The first two.
So now his son dies with his blood and is resurrected. And all of us who by faith have believed in that, overcome by the blood of the Lamb,
yes,
the word of their testimony, all of us that now believe in that are just back to this image.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And we've got to retain that by faith. That because nobody will tell you you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
That's the reason, Greg, when I saw it the very first time, the Lord let me see what happened on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
When actually the devil, according to the scripture, he thought he had him.
Yes. Yes.
We just read that. Had they known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. He fell for that trap. So he's literally in hell suffering there. More than any man before or since, because he bore all of it. So then he got really embarrassed. Jesus made him bow down and took his keys away from him.
And he tried to make Jesus bow down. Remember that?
Yes,
if you'll bow down to me, I'll give you. No.
But now, amen. Jesus made him bow down. He, Book of Hebrews said he brought him to naught.
Made a show of him openly. The earth even witnessed. Yes. All of the heavenly realm witnessed.
And all of his little devils realize they're following a loser.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they can't get out.
No, it's too late.
It's too late. And here we are out of time. Hurry. Let's hurry up and get to tomorrow.
Okay.
Glory to God. We'll be back in a minute. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
God only says good things over your life. When you think, act, and speak the word for your health, family, and finances, that's what you'll have. But compromising the word of God will inevitably lead to failure. God's Word Final Authority is a CD teaching by Kenneth Copeland that will help you make the decision to never compromise the word again. Jesus, the Word in flesh, is your covenant partner. When you understand the covenant rights he bought and paid for you to have, you can take hold of them. He has a good future for you, one of health, mental and emotional wholeness, and financial freedom. Don't compromise and don't quit. Release the power of God's Word as your first and last word in every situation, and watch the Word go to work for you. The Word is where your victory starts. Align your heart and words with God's Word to live in His victory and overcoming faith. Request your free copy of Kenneth Copeland's CD series, God's Word Final Authority. Learn to make God's Word final authority in your life and how everything you think, say, or do can agree with God's Word to bring about His promises for you. Go to kcm.org/TV special. Or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Jesus came to set you free from the bondage of sin, and His sacrifice provided the way for you to enter God's family and partake of His nature. God's greatest desire is that you be free from the curse in this world and to live the life of victory that He has prepared for you. If you would like to receive this blessed life that belongs to every child of God, then just pray this prayer with me. Repeat after me, Heavenly Father, I ask Jesus into my heart. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. I thank you, God, that I am born again and that I'm now in your family. I receive your Holy Spirit to fill me up and to lead me every step of the way. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Yes, becoming a child of God is that easy. You are a part of God's divine royal family now and a joint heir with Jesus. God fills you with His nature and you're able to walk in the same faith and love that God has. If you'd like to learn more about your new place in God's family, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a resource to send you for free. It's called the Salvation Package. There's a book called He Did It All for You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and two brochures to help you get started in reading your Bible. These free materials will teach you about your new life as a child of God and will help you establish a relationship with your Heavenly Father by showing you how to spend time in His Word every day. To request your copy of the Salvation Package, go to kcm.org and we'll send it to you for free. Another way to develop your new identity in Christ is to be part of a faith-filled church that believes in the absolute truth of God's Word. Immerse yourself in an atmosphere of faith with like-minded believers and receive teaching from a pastor who will feed your spirit from the Word of God. It'll help you grow spiritually and establish your identity as a child of God.
Thank you for being with us today. It's a good thing to gather together around the Word of God. Isn't it wonderful? We'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Greg Stevens, and all of this here's class reminding you again that God loves you and we love you and Jesus is Lord. So give Him a praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you.
If you received Jesus into your heart and made Him the Lord and Savior of your life, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to welcome you to the family of God. They have a gift for you called the Salvation Package to help you understand more about your new life in Christ. Receive your free package on kcm.org/salvation.
Take the word of faith wherever you go with the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Since 1973, KCM has delivered the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine worldwide. We're reaching nearly 400,000 people in 202 countries and territories on 5 continents. All absolutely free. Every magazine contains faith-building articles from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and other guest authors. Read encouraging stories from people like you in testimonies of real-life victory. Equip your kids with powerful tools for spiritual growth in Commander Kelly's Corner. With a variety of viewing formats available, sharing is easier than ever. Download a digital copy for your tablet or mobile device. Click on the interactive magazine option where you'll find bonus content, videos, and downloads. Sign up for your free monthly subscription or download your copy today at kcm.org.